Good morning and welcome to Husky Nation News on 91.7 WHUS Stores. This broadcast is in collaboration with the Yukon newspaper, the Daily Campus, and Yukon student-run TV station, UCTV. My name is Rita and I am your host this week. I'm the WHUS Operations Manager and I have been a DJ for over 2 years now. If you're interested in listening to my show, it runs on Thursdays at 4 p.m. and I play mostly indie rock. I'm super excited to be back on Husky Nation News. This is my third time as host. With me today is guest Ling Chi, this year's WHUS event coordinator and next year's operations manager-elect. We will talk about how our signature WHUS concerts have been adapted to a remote format, her plans for her role as operations manager, and we will even give a hint at this year's Spring Fling artist. But first, here's the news of the University of Connecticut from this week. UConn soccer player Ziad Fekri was arrested by the FBI after being accused of sexually assaulting a fellow student at knife point. Daily Campus correspondent Grace McFadden writes that a female student reported the assault on February 13th, identifying Fekri as the assailant. A warrant was issued for his arrest, and he posted a $75,000 bail. After the initial warrant, UConn police continued an investigation into Fekri and found him responsible for multiple violent assaults over a month-long period. An additional warrant increasing the charges from assault in the second degree to aggravated assault in the first degree was issued on Friday. The initial warrant also detailed charges of disorderly conduct and unlawful restraint. He was taken into custody in New York as a fugitive from justice, and the bail has been set at $500,000. Several anti-Semitic incidents have occurred at the store's campus this semester, with an increase of incidents being reported this week during the Jewish holiday of Passover. Daily Campus correspondent Amanda Kiliak reports on the two incidents that occurred this weekend. On Saturday, March 27th, a swastika was found spray-painted on the Hillel building at the store's campus. And on Sunday, March 28th, a Jewish student was walking past Mirror Lake holding a kippah and a box of matzah when a student driving past slowed down, rolled down the window, and yelled anti-Semitic comments. Students are calling for action from the Office of Diversity and Inclusion, the Office of Institutional Equity, and UConn Faith to help come up with solutions to the hate on campus, including education programs similar to the anti-Black racism course started this semester. As for the incidents mentioned earlier, investigations have been opened, and President Katsalaeus says in an email to the UConn community that the incidents are being taken very seriously and any violations of the law or student code will be answered with disciplinary measures and law enforcement when appropriate. Shortly after this email was sent out, a second swastika was painted on the Philip E. Austin building at the store's campus. UConn Hillel has said enough is enough. Jewish students on campus are done being silent. A gathering will be held on April 5th to show support for Jewish students and to stand up against anti-Semitism. Last week, the Undergraduate Student Government Senate met with the UConn Police and Residential Life to discuss modifications to the cannabis enforcement policy that would limit UCPD's interaction with students suspected of possessing cannabis in residential halls. Daily Campus correspondent Allison Cross reports that the USG Senate passed new legislation titled Cannabis Enforcement by Residential Life and UConn Police Department that opposes the current policy requiring resident assistants to call the police when they suspect cannabis use. The legislation stated that UCPD should not be called to enter student residencies where the danger of imminent harm is not present. The situations would be handled similarly to how residential life handles alcohol violations. The current cannabis policy in place abides by the current Connecticut laws and the student code of conduct, which prohibits possession of use of illegal drugs. USG President-elect Mason Holland stated that the goal of this legislation is to open the door for more meaningful ways in which residential life and the public sector of UConn can deal with cannabis and to make sure that it is safe. This past weekend, two stores' homeowners were charged for violating the governor's executive orders and permitting minors to illegally possess alcohol. Taylor Harton reports that Connecticut State Police responded to a noise complaint on Hunting Lodge Road around midnight and found over 100 people at an indoor off-campus party, most of which were not following social distancing or mask-wearing guidelines put in place by the state of Connecticut and UConn. An additional partygoer was charged with disorderly conduct after throwing a can of alcohol at one of the troopers, hitting him in the back. UConn responded to the incident saying, UConn takes the governor's executive order's provisions very seriously and expects students to do the same to help protect the health and safety of its campus communities. Before we move into the sports recap of the week, here's the weather for the weekend. It'll be mostly sunny today and clear through the night with a high near 42 degrees and a low of 25 degrees. Tomorrow will be sunny with a high of 51 degrees. There's a 30% chance of rain after 2 a.m., extending to about 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. As for the rest of Easter Sunday, it'll be partly sunny with a high around 55 degrees. Now for this week's sports highlight. The game of the week has to be UConn women's basketball versus Baylor in the Elite Eight tournament. I have to say, as someone who is not very invested in sports, I already went into this game excited, which is not how I normally think about sports, like, at all. But oh my god, it was so much better than I anticipated. I was blown away. The game was intense, controversial, and it was very, very entertaining. The women from both teams played an amazing game, showing incredible athleticism and heart. The game started out with an early 10-point lead from UConn, which they didn't hold on to for very long. Baylor came back to end the first quarter only 2 points behind at 24 Baylor, 26 UConn. They outscored UConn in the second quarter, gaining the lead, and stayed strong throughout the third quarter. Baylor's strong defense led to a very physical game, which challenged UConn's scoring ability. The game really took a turn when one of Baylor's star players, Dee Dee Richards, suffered a hamstring injury. Richards was named the Naismith WBCA and Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year for 2020 and was one of the main reasons why UConn was struggling to put points on the board. So, when she was forced to leave the game due to injury, UConn really gained momentum and took back the lead after a 19-0 run. Baylor fought back hard, though, closing the gap to only 1 point with less than a minute to go. Throughout the night, the game was very physical, fouls being called, you know, left and right, and several crucial calls were still missed all game long. The most notable being what could have been a game winner from Baylor's Dejanay Carrington. With less than a minute left on the clock, Carrington attempted a game-winning shot, but was met by two UConn defenders that appeared to have made contact with her elbow and face from a few different angles while she was shooting. The no-call from refs enraged Baylor fans because those foul shots could have decided the game. This was only one of a series of bad calls all night. This one just came at, you know, a really bad time for Baylor. If Dee Dee Richards had not been injured and calls had been made differently throughout the night, I do believe this would have been a very different game. In the end, I think Baylor was not correctly seeded in the tournament. The game had the energy and the competition of a Final Four game or a championship, and I think it's a shame that we had to meet Baylor this early in the tournament. I really admire the team's effort, and I look forward to watching them play in the next year. But, you know, in the end, I am a UConn student, and I'm very excited that UConn is continuing in the tournament. The game ended with UConn advancing to the Final Four with a final score of 69-67. UConn women's basketball will play the Final Four game versus Arizona tonight at 9:30 p.m. As for the rest of UConn sports this week, UConn softball had a 1-0 victory over Butler on March 28th. Baseball had an impressive 12-0 victory over Boston College on March 30th. And women's lacrosse had another big win with a 19-4 win over Butler on March 28th. Overall, a very successful week for the UConn Huskies. From this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are of those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. So we're here today with Ling Chi, the event coordinator at WHUS. Ling, how are you today?
I am fantastic, Rita. How are you?
I'm doing great. So we're going to talk a little bit about your role as the event coordinator at WHUS. Do you want to talk about, you know, what led you to apply to this position and kind of how you got involved in WHUS to begin with?
Yeah, so I got involved with WHUS in the spring of 2020. So that was the spring of my sophomore year. I think I just heard someone talk about a podcast that they did, and that made me realize that there is a radio station on campus. And then I looked into it, and, you know, just being a DJ sounds cool. So I just started looking into what y'all did at WHUS. And so I came to a new music committee meeting, and then I got to meet some people. I met you there. I met Aiden there. And a few other people that I think I don't really remember. Kyle, actually, I met Kyle there, and it was really fun, and I really liked the energy that everyone had. It was very cozy in the big room, and I think after that, I went to some studio sessions to help out Ryan. I didn't really do much. Like, I say help out and take that with a grain of salt, because all I did was like pack up cables. That's all I did. But it was super fun. Like, studio sessions, I think, are what really got me into WUS, because it was just the energy in the studio was awesome. Everyone was just shuffling around, and then it was just so cool to listen to the artists do what they did. And it was very cool. And so that's what really got me into WUS. And then I want to say I started DJ training in like February, then I got the flu, and then so I stopped coming to WUS, and then we all went home. and so after that, obviously I didn't do much after that with the station, but then I started following the Instagram just to kind of keep updated on what was happening. And then I saw that positions had opened. And then I just took a look through to see like what I fit. I took a look at the descriptions and just kind of took a look at like my own experiences and what it would have matched well with. And so I picked the events coordinator because I had worked on the e-board like throughout sophomore year, and pretty much all we did was plan just various events for our members. And I was like, hey, like this seems cool. And it seems to match like what I've been doing this year, just maybe in a more like intense manner, because you're the sole person rather than working with a team. And well, I mean, you still work with the team, and I'll talk about that later, but right. So like I just felt like my experience fit it. And then I applied and I got it, and it was, and I'm very happy that that happened.
So obviously with the pandemic, like there haven't been many in-person options for you when you're planning events. So how has that impacted your role as the event coordinator? And, you know, what have you kind of done in the position in the remote format?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because like I remember when I was doing the transition, I was talking to the last events coordinator, Ashley, and, you know, she gave me this wonderful events guide, and it was really all for in-person stuff. And so there was like a very weird limbo moment, I think, in the summer, when we weren't sure if we could do in person yet. Like there was still it wasn't a no, but it was about like far from a yes. And so I was trying to do like contingency plans, you know, like maybe we can do this in person and then like have backup plans for online. And then just like as we drew closer to the school year, I feel like we still didn't get a definite no, because they were still saying that tier threes could maybe have in persons, but then I just figured rather than trying to like spread myself thin and trying to do like two different plans for event, then I ended up just choosing online, because I felt, you know, like I know I can do online. I don't know that I can do in person. It was just easier to do it that way. So that's kind of how I adjusted. And I remember I was researching online to see different online concerts, how they've been held, you know, complaints that people have had one way versus another. Or not just complaints, but things that people liked about one concert versus another. And so I just kind of tried to take that feedback and just online research into account when I was trying to plan our events. And then, you know, and you can definitely see, like, if we want to talk about like the events that we planned over this year, like it's progressed like different ways. And it was a learning curve, definitely. And I'm still learning for our upcoming events as well. So that's how I started, though. I just kind of went online.
So what events have you been able to plan up until this point in the year?
Let's see. So, our first one was, the turf show. That was fun. And that was probably our best thing of the year, because it was our only in-person thing. And it was something, I don't know how many people like knew about it, but it was a last minute thing that we pulled together, and we just had an in-person concert on the turf field at UConn. And we also had Mischief After Dark, which was like the first online thing we did, and I learned a lot from that one, and I used a lot of my experience from that one to do our Battle of the Bands, which is probably the next event that happened after Mischief, which was, let's see, Turf and Mischief were both in October. Battle just happened like this month. Yeah, so those are the major events that we've had. I think I had like a few very small ones. Like one was an Instagram takeover with Hip Hop Initiative. That one was like very easy. You know, I just texted them and they said, yeah, let's do it. So that one was a super easy one that we did in the fall. And yeah, those are the ones we've done so far.
You want to talk more about the Turf Show? You said it came together pretty last minute. And WISC was one of the only organizations on campus to hold an in-person concert. So you want to just kind of talk about how that came together?
Yeah. As much as I'd love to take like full credit for that, I can't. Like, that was such a last minute effort by so many different people. Student Activities basically just let us know that they had a stage available for us to plan something. And our live production director, Andrew, he deserves a lot of the credit for this show as well. He reached out to a lot of the local bands because it was so much easier to get local bands to do that. They came, when did we start planning? It was like a week or 10 days, I think, before the concert. Andrew reached out to a few bands. I think we ended up getting three. It was Zebulon, Two-Headed Girl, and Mandala. And they were just like, yeah, let's do it. And they just came down. We already had the stage set up. Student Activities already had the production company. So like the hardest parts were kind of, the hardest logistical parts, I think, were already taken care of for us. After that, it was just a lot of coordination. So that was just kind of where I stepped in, just coordinating between the production company, between Andrew, between the bands. And Andrew kind of took care of the band's part. I was more talking about like the safety protocols with Student Activities, making sure that we had the ticketing system in place, things like that. So it was a lot of emailing within the span of 1 week, and somehow it just came together. But a lot of props to Andrew for handling the band situation and all the live equipment and all that stuff, and a lot of props to Student Activities for setting up that stage in the first place. It was awesome. And the turf field is big, so everyone could spread out pretty well, and yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a fun show. It was, you know, one of the only opportunities for people to come together and like enjoy music like in person. So that was really great to see that happen. And it was cool how it kind of came together like so last minute, while some of the online events that we've done have taken so much planning and work to go in to them. So do you want to kind of talk about like the Battle of the Bands event and how that, it's like the second ever one we've done, and how we had to change everything we did last year and make it into a remote format. So you want to kind of talk about how you approached that?
Yeah, so a lot of the planning for Battle kind of came after I planned our Mischief concert, which was also online. I took a lot of what I learned from that and try to make Battle a lot better. And I think that's why I was a lot more successful. I got a lot more viewers and stuff. One of them was that we decided on pre-recorded performances. And this was because the Mischief concert, it was a live stream at the time. It was with Chad Brown Stringer, and he just came on and just streamed it all from his equipment. And thankfully it worked out, but I was so stressed because I couldn't handle anything. Like, I could not control the streaming. I couldn't control any part of that. All I could give him was like the login to our YouTube page. And so the reason I did pre-recorded is for a number of reasons. It's just that it's a lot easier to control because you just load in the videos and you're controlling the streaming. And it's a lot easier to control the quality, the sound quality and video quality, because especially with bands, like, their sound is going to be all over the place if they're just live streaming it, and it would have just been very hard to deal with. So that's why we ended up going with pre-recorded, and it seemed like no one really had an issue with that, which I'm very thankful for, because I know some people feel like cheated when they don't get a live performance. But honestly, I don't think a live performance, we could have given them the same quality performance. And so that's why we ended up deciding just going with the pre-recorded. It was just a lot easier all around to manage. The biggest part of the success for Battle was that I had my little events committee running, and we just met weekly and just kind of went over promotions. We went over the planning, like reaching out to the bands, what we need to tell the bands. They helped me make the submission guidelines, all the timeline, everything for the bands. And it was a huge help, because, you know, a lot of times I was just trying to use our office hours to try to talk to people and get their input on things. But It wasn't like a very structured way to do that. And I wanted to really make sure that people who had ideas like were very able to contribute them. And so that's why I just started our weekly events committee. And that just helped a ton. Like, I mean, everyone knows that it's just more helpful to have more input on especially big events like this. It's just, it's not fun to do it on your own. And you get a lot better outcome when you're working with other people. So I attribute much of the success to just being able to bounce ideas off of our committee, because they were awesome. And you all, Rita, you came a lot. You all were so helpful, and I cannot stress that enough. So I think that was the biggest, that was probably the biggest pivot point for Battle that made it a lot more fun and enjoyable, I think, than Mischief was.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of these events that we've done this year have been like, you know, learning as we go along, but also kind of working as a team to put things together. And I think that's part of why we've been able to hold so many events this year and have them, you know, still be of that high quality that we had when we were in person. So that's really great. What events are still gonna, you know, come up in the rest of the semester? You know, what do we have like in the works?
Yeah, we have a beat battle coming up. It's actually this week. That was done in collaboration with quite a few orgs. It's Husky Beats, Hip Hop Initiative, UEG, UConn Entertainment Group. And that'll be a really fun one. It's just we open it up to all of Connecticut, and we're just inviting people to submit beats, just beats that they make. I think we narrowed it down to hip hop, but hip hop genre. But yeah, that'll be a really fun one. It's just, it'll be just a simple Zoom call where the judges just go over the beats. So that one is not super stressful. The other major one is our Spring Fling, also going to be virtual. And that'll be coming up on April 24th. And we haven't announced it yet on Instagram, but we are planning to do it this week. So you can stay tuned for that. But
can you give us hints on who the artist is going to be?
Yeah, we're going to announce it soon. So I might as well. This artist recently had a collaboration with Dominic Fike, which is actually that'll be very helpful actually to whoever's trying to guess this artist. I don't think I'm going to announce that on Instagram. So anyone listening to Husky Nation News, you all will probably figure it out before everyone else. That's a big one, and it'll be really fun. This artist actually has agreed to come on live, although we're setting it up a little bit better than last time, where they just have to join like a Zoom call. That's just what they have to do. So, and everything else will be handled like internally for the streaming. So that'll be fun. And they have, I believe they're going to interact with the chat. And so that's going to, people kind of can get the little bit of the live experience. And we're going to have two openers. One was our battle winner from last year. And the other was our battle, meaning battle of the bands, was our battle winner from this year. And yeah, it'll be a fun show. And I'm very excited for that to close out this academic year. Yeah.
Right. So Spring Fling coming up. Yeah. An artist who is yet to be announced, but will be announced on Instagram. So we can see it there as it comes out. And then our battle winners of 2020, which was a one-time weekend, and battle winners of 2021, which is Cyborg Village. Yeah. So keep an eye out for Spring Fling. So it's really amazing to see like everything you've accomplished as event coordinator, especially during the pandemic. So what is next for you, Ling, at WHUS?
We just found out like a week ago that I was elected to the operations manager position, which Rita is right now. So.
what do you plan to do when you take over for me as operations manager? Do you want to kind of talk about, you know, any goals you have?
Yeah, and this is something that I know I'm not alone in. This is something that we've talked about this year, and it's something that much of the executive board for next year has already talked about in the election speeches and everything. But we're going to just continue working on increasing our presence on campus. Everyone at WUS has talked about how like it can be a little bit difficult to find out about WUS, and we're really just going to work on that. And I think we've definitely improved a lot this year, just with like our Something I like about the online events, like when we hold on Twitch, is that literally anyone can click on the link and just go watch it. And so I think the success of Battle this year will help. And just our social media presence, we've been posting a lot on there. We've been releasing a lot of good content on the WUS website from the news department, things like that. So we're just definitely going to continue expanding on that. This year in my position, I've been working with a lot of like other student organizations. Like I just talked about the Beat Battle with Husky Beats and a few other student orgs, Hip Hop Initiative, UEG. And I just want to continue that because I really enjoyed that this year. It's kind of hard sometimes to work with other groups because, you know, we get used to a dynamic here, they get used to a dynamic there, but it's very good, I think, for just all these collaborations between different groups. And I think because like the news department does collabs with Daily Campus, and we just want to increase that, I think, and do a lot more like cross promotions between groups. And so that's I think that's a goal that I have, and I'm fairly sure I share that with much of the exec board next year.
Well, this all sounds great, and I look forward to passing the torch on to you next year and seeing what you do as you take over my position and lead, hopefully we lead WUS out of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Now, it would be great to see the next executive board, you know, have some sort of normal life in like WUS being back to normal. That would be great. Thanks, Ling, for coming on Husky Nation News. And I will definitely be looking out on Instagram for the Spring Fling artist announcement. And yeah, that brings us to the end of the talk segment today. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I hope everyone has a lovely day today.
Thanks again to our guest for this week, Ling Chi, WHUS's own event coordinator and operations manager-elect. And that brings me to the end of the show this morning. Thank you to the Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us, and thank you to Ethan Smith, the creator of our theme music. My name is Rita. I've been your host for this week. If you want to hear more from me, my weekly music show, Lo-Fi Radio, runs on Thursdays at 4 p.m. here on 91.7 WHUS Stores. Thanks again to listening to Husky Nation News every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Have a great day.